The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a recurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, and school programs, and all of the great things that happen here every day. Welcome to Up on Taconic. I'm Mrs. Panetti, the health technology teacher for grades 11 and 12. Today I'm joined by three of my juniors, Alexis Panetti, Isla DeMassimo, and Thomas Lopez. So Health Tech did a project on health ethics and healthcare last week. We had different scenarios to work through. Can you each tell me about the scenario that your group had and the ethical dilemma for that group?
So Thomas? First, my scenario was about Maria, 45-year-old, single mother of two. And she has an aggressive cancer, and she only has $20,000 for the treatment, and the treatment actually costs $150,000, and it's of course not covered by insurance. So the ethical dilemma is either give her the treatment by no cost, the other one is deny the treatment, and the third one is to seek alternative compromises so she can still have the treatment, and still the hospital can have their budget on.
Alexis?
So my scenario was about Mr. James Thompson. He's 72 with advanced Alzheimer's and a recent stroke and is on a ventilator and unresponsive. In his living will, he did not want any life prolonging measures and if he is in a vegetative state, but his daughter, Emily, is his healthcare proxy and insists on continuing treatment.
Isla?
So mine is about a 29-year-old man named David. And he's brought to the ER after a motorcycle accident. He's unconscious and requires an urgent $80,000 surgery to prevent paralysis. And the hospital discovers that he has no insurance and no next kin to consent or cover the costs. So the hospital has to decide if they want to perform the surgery immediately and just absorb the cost, provide only stabilization until consent or funding is secured, or transfer David to a public hospital with limited surgical capacity.
Thank you. So everyone in your groups had a role assigned to them. Can you guys tell me a little bit more about the different roles that each members of the group had?
So there were a few roles. There was the hospital administrator, the doctor, the patient advocate, the ethics expert, and the lawyer. And each of those roles both had different opinions on what the patient should have, like what's best for them. My role was the doctor, and I wanted whatever is best for the patient. I wanted to perform the surgery immediately and absorb the cost.
How about your role, Alexis?
I was the ethics expert, and I evaluated the case based on ethical principles and end-of-life care guidelines. And I looked at what Mr. Thompson wanted and looked at his will to make sure that he got what he wanted at the end of his life.
Perfect. What about you, Thomas?
I was a doctor, and I involved myself in this scenario as a person that was seeking for the best interest of the patient, but also looking for the best interest for the hospital, since the hospital has to take care of a lot of patients daily. And not only focus on one just because of the treatment. So I said that the hospital and Maria should have seek alternative compromises.
Okay. How about, no? None of you guys were the hospital administrator, but what did it seem like the hospital administrator's goals were in this activity?
It seemed like the hospital's administrator was basically to look for the best interests in the hospital, the hospital's patients, and the hospital budget. So if a treatment, let's say the treatment costed a lot, then they would deny it. So they could use that money into other different areas in the hospital or patients.
Yeah. What about, I think we had some family members and patient advocates.
So in my scenario, the family member wanted to keep Mr. Thompson alive. And she was also the healthcare proxy. So she got to like look over that and make decisions over him. And we had to look through it as like like through the doctor's point of view too, like, is he going to make it? Does he have the chance to recover? And also through a legal perspective on is this really what he wants?
Yeah, it sounds like all the people in the group were coming from different perspectives on what was best for them and what was best for the hospital and what was best for the patient. So we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what the process of going through all that looked like. And we're back at Up on Taconic. I'm Mrs. Panetti, and I'm talking with Alexis, Isla, and Thomas about health tech. So my next question is, I want to hear a little bit more from you guys about what the committee meetings were like when you actually, in your roles, had discussions about what decisions you were going to make about the outcomes of these patients.
So for me and my group, we really had to, like, put ourselves in the shoes of each of the roles. Like, for example, the lawyer, they had to really think about, like, what would be proper to do and, like, what would be the most, best outcome for the hospital as well, since it takes, like, a lot of money and you can find loopholes through, like, certain things. So we really had to get in, like, the different shoes, and I had to really think about, if I was a doctor, what would my first decision be? And it would be to make sure the patient is safe, especially because it's like a very urgent situation.
Okay. How about you, Alexis?
So I had to look through it through the ethics expert, and my views aligned with the doctor and the nurse and the legal advisor, but it differed with the family advocate, because she wanted her father to continue on living, and it just wasn't the best way for it to happen because he was suffering and he didn't have much life left in him. And we also had to look through his will, which stated that he no longer wanted to be alive if he was in this state, so it kind of clashed a little bit, but we ended up agreeing on how we should take him off life support because it's what he would have wanted, and it's also what the doctor agreed would be the best for him.
How about your group, Thomas?
My group, we consider a lot of points. Some of them were about beneficence and non-maleficence. And the beneficence, of course, was more towards the family member, since the beneficence, it's about looking for the best interest for the person. But then a maleficence point was about that the treatment was 30% probability of actually working. And of course, as you know, there would be 70% of it not working. So it's towards more actually the treatment of failing instead of actually working on Maria. That was something that was discussed on the committee. And we also looked at the legal and financial implications, since there was a lot of money on the table. And legally, the hospital could have helped, but also legally, the hospital has the need to help other patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to make that balance between the good for one and good for everyone.
Yeah.
So what decision did your group make?
We made, group one made number three, which was seek alternative compromises, such as a partial subsidy or inclusion in a compassionate use program. So both parts, as long as Maria's family and Maria, of course, and the hospital wouldn't have any financial and or legal issues between them.
Okay. Isla, what did your group pick?
So we picked option number one, which was to perform the surgery immediately and absorb the cost. And honestly, that decision was, we all kind of agreed on that, because David didn't have anyone to, like, give consent or to cover the costs for, since he was also going to be, like, paralyzed, and he didn't have anyone to give consent for. So we thought that if we just performed the surgery immediately before his health declined, it would be best for David.
Yeah, I remember when you guys were presenting, your hospital administrator even came around to see that was what was best.
Yeah, we all figured that out pretty quickly.
Yeah, so healthcare involves some difficult decisions. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about this experience?
I liked looking through all the perspectives and seeing how one person's, what they think should happen is different from another, and how just looking through each role and how it affects the patient.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, we all have to kind of come together as a team. It's a lot of teamwork to see the different perspectives on what would be right for all the different causes, like the patient in the hospital and everything else. And there's always multiple perspectives, and it's good to like really view all the different perspectives, like you said.
All right. Well, I want to thank Alexis Panetti, Isla DiMassimo, and Thomas Lopez for taking time out of their busy day to join us and talk about the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my experience on Up on Taconic, and you guys can find me at my Instagram at Isla.Demas.
And you can follow me at Alexis Panetti.
You can follow me at TLG and lowercase 11 on Instagram.
All right. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in on WTBR, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at taconictv@pittsfield.net. We hope you'll join us next time for Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and Podcasts, produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Mass., and this week featured Alexis Panetti, Isla DiMassimo, and Thomas Lopez. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in November of 2019.